This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities, whether it's a business or athletes. Begin your journey today at NILGameChangers.org. And always great to be joined by the fabulous Adam Rittenberg. Adam, welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us.
Oh, great to be with you, Steve.
All right. So the talking season's almost over. Okay, here we go.
It's been long enough?
Yeah, it's too long. At least it feels that way. Let's start with the top 100 players. The list can be fun. But what kind of – at times can it, though, be a daunting task when you're a part of a top 100?
Yeah, and you're not going to make everybody happy, and there's, like, no ideal way to do it. I think what kind of made it hard for us was – that, you know, you obviously want to have recognize what guys have done in the past, but you also want to not be sitting there at the end of the season without a clear top 10 player on your board. And so I think we have a couple of guys, who may not in many people's eyes be top 100 players right now, but because of the positions they're in, especially quarterbacks like Miller Moss at USC and Nico Iamaleava at Tennessee, they're probably going to be top 100 players by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting exercise to do. And again, I heard from some coaches who weren't happy, and that's how it goes. And hopefully everybody gets over it, and we'll see how right or wrong we are in a few months.
You'd be shocked what performance means at the end of the day. I thought what was interesting, you talk about a guy maybe underrated, and I completely agree with you about this. Cam Ward at Miami. I thought that was one of the bigger moves in the offseason, because when I watched him at Washington State, he can flat out play. And you talked about that as being one of your underrated guys on this list.
Right, yeah, he was an interesting one, right? Because he, has had big numbers, throughout his time as a college quarterback, even at Incarnate Word, an FCS program down in Texas. He had kind of crazy numbers there before going up to Washington State. And, I was talking with Lance Guidry, the defensive coordinator at Miami, on Friday, and he's like, man, I'm just glad I don't have to face this guy in games. It's hard enough in practice, because he has made a big impact and certainly fits the offense that's being run by Shannon Dawson down there at the U. And so, again, Miami's one of these teams, and you and I have talked about it, and I've talked about it over the years. We're just waiting for them to break through. Yeah. Maybe a guy like Cam Ward, along with Damian Martinez in the backfield from Oregon State, the running back, and pretty good group of receivers, a lot of playmakers on defense. Maybe this is the year they finally put it together and take advantage of now what's a more widespread, opportunistic playoff system, more opportunity to actually get into this thing.
It's interesting, guys that weren't in the top 10. Mark Schlabaugh said Quinn Ewers should be. Dylan Gabriel for Eli. Meanwhile, Barrett Carter. You had Harold Perkins Jr. And Jake Trotter said Abdul Carter. Your thoughts on guys in the top 10?
Right, yeah. I think it was interesting, Steve, that, because I think we had so many great quarterbacks go high in the draft this year. What was it, 6 in the top 12, 5 in the top 12? It really created a top 100 that recognized more positions, more defensive players, obviously. And I think we really had kind of the top player at most positions represented in the top 10. It wasn't a run on quarterbacks or running backs, even though there's some really good running backs in particular this year. And defensive players are recognized, obviously, with a guy like James Pierce Jr. at number 1, the pass rusher from Tennessee, and then Mason Graham from Michigan, number 2, and Will Johnson, another outstanding player from Michigan, Abdul Carter, who, again, as could play, both both defensive end, rush end, and linebacker, and get recognized for both. So, and some quarterbacks are certainly going to move into this top 10 projection, I think, by the end of the year. But I think there's just enough doubts about pretty much everybody outside of Carson Beck from Georgia, because, you know, you have Dylan Gabriel that's moving conferences. Shedeur Sanders is moving conferences. A number of other guys have new play callers. Some guys are coming back from injury, like Jalen Daniels from Kansas, who's been really good when he's healthy, but hasn't been able to stay healthy. He's only averaged 6.5 games per season during his time at KU. So it's going to, and Cam Ward, another guy, changing conferences, new coordinator. Mm-hmm. If he hits, he's going to be a top 10, top 15 player, but for now we're keeping him a little bit lower on the list.
Right. Okay, so let's shift gears to some teams. I want to start with Northwestern. Have you had an opportunity to see that layout on the soccer field yet? And if you have, what do you think of it?
It's I haven't been there since they've completed it, as far as the field, but I have walked around it and by it and taken pictures and heard a lot about the pop-up stadium. And, you know, they've done a nice job getting this thing ready as quickly as they have, and they used a company that does a lot of these type of structures for different sporting events, whether it's the Waste Management Open, that famous 16 stadium hole, or the F1 races around the world, that they do these type of structures. So it's going to be different. But I think Northwestern is really trying to embrace that it's something that kind of fits them and that they can thrive in. And I think it's you've been to games over the years, Steve. Oftentimes they don't have a home field advantage because away team fans fill up the stands. That's not really going to happen, because the tickets are going to go to their fans, and it'll truly be kind of an edge for them that they felt like they would have lost if they had left campus and gone somewhere else in the city.
Yeah. Except for the Ohio State game, which is at Wrigley Field. So, yeah, exactly. I talked to somebody there, and this is like maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And I said, so where are they going to dress? In the indoor facility? Where? And they didn't know where the teams were going to have locker rooms.
Well, Northwestern will just use its locker room. Its locker room is right next door, which it uses for practices. So no real changes for them. And then the student rec center is right next to the facility that's used by the varsity teams there. Right. And there's plenty of room. So I was talking to a coach at Indiana last week, and they kind of told him, I've heard it won't be a major issue as far as space. Maybe a little bit long of a walk to get from that facility to the field, but it's less than a quarter mile. It's not anything crazy, and they do have space there. So it's more the fans and getting the fans in and out, and sure that if there's an emergency, if you can get somebody out of that basically two-lane road, because there just isn't a lot of space there, where it's situated on campus. But I think for the teams and everything, it should be fine.
Yeah, and by the way, the lake is on one side too, so that cuts off access. The next part of this is it's an 18-team Big Ten conference, right? And this is a season unlike any other. There's 18 in the Big Ten, 16 now in the Big 12, 16 in the SEC. There's a 12-team playoff. There's helmet communication. There's iPads being used. There's the 12-team playoff. Everything adding up together. What have you thought about all the change, and are you excited about the change?
It's interesting. I'm excited about some of it, and I think I'm getting more excited about more of it as we get closer. Now, certainly the playoff I'm excited about, and I've been someone who's been pro-playoff, anti-division for a long time, and trying to get more meaningful matchups throughout the year, down the stretch, having more teams from different areas, really having something to play for during the month of November. I think that's important, and we're going to get that this year. I tended to be an anti-realignment person, but the one I kind of catch myself, because I've also been someone who thinks the schedules don't consistently give fans what they deserve. And one upside of realignment is you have so many more compelling matchups week to week, and oftentimes you have these mega weekends like October 12th and November 2nd in the Big Ten, where you're going to have three or four true games teams with national significance. We haven't had that before, and you know that's in large part because of realignment, and you're going to have that around the country. So, the other changes, again, I don't have strong feelings one way or the other, although I have been talking to coaches about helmet communications and the pros and cons of that. But I think the main two things are the playoff itself, how that's going to change so many things, and then realignment. And obviously, with that, at least in the Big Ten and the SEC, the wiping away of divisions and the opportunity, at least in the Big Ten, I would say, to have a no doubt exciting championship game, which we haven't had very often in that league.
Well, here's another part, too. The biggest upset in the history of the college football playoff was the first year when number 4 Ohio State upset beat Alabama. Unlike the NCAA basketball tournament, there aren't any upsets in this thing. Well, now you got an opportunity that somebody can go to somebody else's place and, quote, pull the upset. And that's the magic that this tournament has missed as opposed to the basketball tournament.
No doubt. And again, realistically, are teams playing in that first weekend going to win the national championship? I tend to think they won't, but that's when you get hot. Like Ohio State did in that year that you just mentioned, Steve. I think it's going to be really hard, though, to win 4 games, given the toll that it's taken physically on your team to get to that point. And it's going to be fascinating to see the strategies that are employed coaching-wise and player-wise as we get to that part of the year. But the fact that we're going to have games on campus, and I could have said that earlier, is maybe the thing I'm most excited about, because as great as the NCAA tournament is for basketball, it just doesn't compare to college sports on campus in these great stadiums.
That's right.
And we haven't had that in the postseason until now, and that's really, really exciting.
Yeah, see, that's the big difference. But see, the NCAA basketball tournament along the way, I mean, St. Peter's doesn't make the championship game. They don't even get close, but they beat Kentucky. I mean, it's like, I'm just talking about a game, right, where suddenly a game gets an upset. It doesn't mean the team that wins it's going to go any further in the next round, but I think that's the excitement of it.
No doubt. I mean, again, and the thing about the group of 5 teams, whether it's a team like Boise State or Memphis, certainly are capable on the right day of beating a really good team. And now going to have that opportunity if they're able to get that coveted playoff spot. So maybe you're going to Notre Dame Stadium. Maybe you're going to LSU. Maybe you're going to Oregon. And, you're playing a team that didn't win its conference. But you're playing a really good team with a chance to pull off an upset and then advance to, say a Rose Bowl or a Sugar Bowl. So that's a pretty great opportunity for those teams that, realistically, everything would have had to align. I mean, Cincinnati obviously made it the 1 year, but it was very infrequent that the group of 5 ever had a chance to win the national championship. And now we can at least know they're going to be part of it every year. As well, some other teams that have that opportunity. It's going to be really interesting to see, the 8 versus 9. Who's the team on the road? Who's at home? Those will be more of the debates that we're going to have versus what we were doing the previous 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, no question, and that makes it fun. I also did an article on under the radar sleepers. Who are a couple of sleepers that, as a fan, you should keep an eye on, especially early in the season, to see if they start building some momentum where now maybe they become a factor.
Right, yeah, this is a fun piece to put together. I talked to a lot of coaches at Media Day, especially Big Ten and Big 12. Mountain West is out there as well. A guy that, one of the first guys on this list is the first name, Marlon Klein from Michigan. We all know about Colson Loveland, who might be the favorite to win the Mackey Award at tight end. But there's real excitement in the program for Marlon Klein, who's a native of Germany. He's only played football for a few years, but he's 6'6", nearly 250 pounds, and they expect him to have a big year for Michigan. There's a couple of Sean Martin from West Virginia's one that came up, but he's more of an established player, guy who is a big time recruit in the state. And but obviously with Penn State going there for week one, he's a very sizable interior defensive lineman at 6'5", nearly 300 pounds, and a guy who has started games, but someone who Neil Brown thinks is really going to take off this year. Anthony Smith, another defensive lineman from Minnesota, talking to PJ Fleck. really, really excited about his potential. And there's obviously some other guys around the Big Ten. Denzel Boston, one of the few remaining receivers who didn't either go to the NFL or transfer to Alabama from the University of Washington. But Jed Fish really telling me he's someone who could rise and become an all-conference caliber receiver for them in year one.
When you talk to the people at Washington, Oregon, USC, UCLA, what's just the general thought that you got from each? Was there a common theme among the four, and was there anybody different among the four as to how they felt about going into this and playing new opponents?
Well, you know, I did a story a couple of weeks ago on mainly on USC, but really on how the four teams are preparing for the line of scrimmage in the Big Ten. And USC, I think, would have done this even if it had stayed in the Pac-12 with their defensive coordinator change, but just trying to get bigger. Like, they needed to get a lot bigger up front, according to Danton Lynn, who obviously you know from his time at Penn State. And, you know, he engineered that similarly at UCLA last year as their DC, wanted USC to get a lot bigger. And I think collectively they put on about 1,500 pounds as a team in the offseason. For Oregon, it's not that big of a jump. I think they believe they can come in and compete right away with the roster they have, who they've added in the transfer portal, Dylan Gabriel, Evan Stewart, and others for that offense. And defensively, they've been pretty solid under Dan Lanning. You know, Washington's in such a unique position, Steve. I can't remember this. Maybe you can.
No.
Of a team that played for a national title and is essentially a new team just the next year. Coaching staff-wise, player-wise, it's almost a brand new team. So I think that would have been hard to do whatever league you're in, regardless of Pac-12, Big Ten, or somewhere else. But it is hard when you add on a move to the Big Ten. And then UCLA's probably got the furthest to go. I think it's going to be a hard first year for them. They have a really tough schedule with a game at LSU in the non-conference and a tough Big Ten schedule as well. But, you know, we'll see if they can, build off of a pretty good season last year with the coach who everybody knows there in Deshaun Foster.
I always find it interesting when people talk, especially old-time Big Ten writers that go back to the 80s, 90s, about adjusting to the Big Ten. In some ways, though, does the Big Ten, the existing teams, have to adjust to a lot of things those four teams do?
Absolutely. I talked with David Braun at Northwestern and some other coaches about this in the conference. And you know, the days of winning games 12-7 are probably over.
Yes.
You're not going to beat USC 12-7. You're not going to beat Oregon, 13-10, unless there's a weather issue that's going on that kind of helps you. So there has to be an embracing of offense and higher scoring games, and it's going to change the way that the teams recruit. I think the quarterback position has to continue to get better and better in the Big Ten. Still going to value line of scrimmage, still going to value running the ball, still going to value some big box linebackers. Those things aren't going away, but I do think you're naive if you think that, not to pick on Iowa, but kind of the way that Iowa's operated in the Big Ten, you're going to do that consistently on the West Coast. I think they're going to lose a lot more games. And then I also point to what Wisconsin did a couple of years ago in pivoting from Paul Chris to Luke Fickell, and also the offense that Wisconsin's running now with Phil Longo. And I'm going up there tomorrow to visit them. And it's a new day in Madison. We saw it last year. Didn't always go great, but I think it's the right approach in a sense because of how the conference is changing and what it will take to win a national championship. What Michigan did last year with a really good quarterback, obviously, but a guy that didn't always have to throw for even 200 yards at times and win games, I still think that that's going to be the exception in most seasons when you're trying to win a national championship. And I think it's going to be harder to do that in the Big Ten going forward with who's coming into the conference.
Exactly. The final question deals with the decision at Ohio State. Will Howard, I'm sure most people from the outside would have assumed would be the guy. He ends up being the guy to at least start the season. What's your thought on him? Because he'll have more talent around him than he had at Kansas State.
Yeah, I'm really interested about this one, Steve. I was out at Kansas State in the spring, and they were very respectful of Will, and certainly appreciated his time there. But they didn't seem to be too upset to be moving on to Avery Johnson, who's their young top 100 national player, who they think is going to be maybe even better than Will Howard was. But I would say at Ohio State, certainly not a surprise that he got the job. I think that listening to Ryan Day and Chip Kelly and some of the things that he's he's done since he's got on campus have been encouraging. He's obviously changed his body a little bit and leaned up, and he's got a great surrounding group of receivers and running backs, and we'll see about the offensive line. But I think to have a guy, talking to opposing coordinators, to have a guy who has that mobility in a Chip Kelly offense with all that other talent around them makes them really dangerous. So interested to see if he can put it all together. He's a guy that's won a conference championship already at Kansas State, so he's not afraid of the big stage, right. But there's going to be a lot of pressure on him, just as there will be for the entire Ohio State program.
And by the way, just one footnote, when Adam's talking about Wisconsin, they're running the air raid offense now. They're no longer 3 yards in a cloud of field turf pellets. So, all right. Adam, thanks so much. Always appreciate it. Great work as always, and thanks for being such an important part of the show.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Adam Rittenberg from ESPN. So, this is the time of the year where people are making predictions and so forth about where teams are going to finish, what their final records are going to be, and so forth. Okay. It's the talking season. This half hour of the talking season brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Business, athletes, whatever it may be, go to NILGameChangers.org. All right, great to have you with us as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is 43 new Hyundais away from their all-time sales record through August. With 134 new Hyundais to choose from, plus deep discounts and low interest rates, SMC is going to break this record. Sunbury Motors has 48 2024 Tucson's available, starting at $32,568, or get 1.99% financing for 60 months. Looking for the most versatile compact truck on the planet? Take up to $3,000 off the 2024 Santa Cruz. The Santa Cruz starts at $31,247.
And there's 16 in stock.
Here you go, car buyers. SMC has 11 2024 Elantras with 1.99% financing for 60 months. And Elantras start at just $22,960. If you want to have a fun day, you have to buy a Hyundai. We're breaking the record in August with 43 new Hyundai sold. Hurry in to Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.